He is Christ the Lord. Love incarnate, love divine, star and angel gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, given for us, Noel. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the world began. Born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore. No, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, story of amazing love, the light of the world, given for us. Come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of amazing love, the light of the world. God has done. Noel, Noel, story of amazing love. Noel, Noel, come and see. see what God has done. No.
I'm on. There it is. Merry Christmas. It is good to be able to gather together. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church, our Christmas Eve service. We are excited to have you here. We're grateful, and we want to let you know, we kind of say welcome home. This is your home, whether this is your home church, you got another home church. We just want you to be at home here. And one of the ways we say that is we say this is a no judgment zone. And it's okay not to be okay. It's okay if you don't know what to do, although it's pretty simple. And it's also okay if you want to worship in a way that's meaningful for you, if that is standing or that's just sitting. I only ask one thing. If you see one of those fishing rods, Ben, call me. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, we are delighted to be here to worship and to celebrate Christmas, Christ coming to us. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor, Hope on the Beach, and we really are grateful again, and we want to acknowledge you here with us, and we believe that God has brought you here for a reason, and we want to be able to honor your presence here with us too. And in your worship folder there's a connection card that looks like this. If you could be so kind to fill that out, we'd love to be able to connect and hear who God has brought and where they brought him from, and you know, be able to reach out and kind of welcome you to Hope. As we've been preparing for the Christmas season for this moment, I don't know about you, but my wife has found a Facebook page that has all these dad jokes on it, and I thought, why not? Because you'll groan, you'll moan, but you'll share them later with somebody else. So, it said, how did Scrooge win the football game? The ghost of Christmas past. You got to think a little bit. How much does it cost Santa to park his sleigh? Nothing. It's on the house. There you go. Why did the candy cane cost so much? It was in mint condition. Oh, wait a minute. I got one more that you're going to roll on. Okay. What did Rudolph say to his wife when the dark clouds started to roll in the sky? It looks like rain, dear. Oh, it's awful, isn't it? But there are little jokes about all these different stories that kind of surround Christmas. But today we gather not because of these other stories. We gather from the main story, the main story, God's story of sending his son. That he comes to us, and the great news is that he is here now with us too. So let us rise together and let us join in on worship as we pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize you here now in our midst, that you come to us, that you love to dwell with your people. And it doesn't matter if we've been naughty or nice. I mean, reality is we are just a mixed bag. But your goodness and mercy and grace is greater, and you're here. So we welcome you, and we lift our voices, and we worship you, this baby who is Christ the King, the Lord and Savior. Amen.
come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. What child is it is too late to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping when angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him now, the babe, the son of Mary. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is a night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night, when Christ was born, sing, fall on your knees, fall on your knees, come and hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. God, we thank you today that you did come down in the form of flesh, God. You came down and became one of us, Lord, and we don't ever want to take that gift for granted. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadow put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nation bind, in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our safety vision cease, and by thyself our kingdom peace. Sing, rejoice, 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 Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
So in honor of these words concerning Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And you're welcome to follow in the little sheet in your worship folder as we look at this story to be our story. And so in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as been told them. You may be seated. We gave you that in a little half sheet, kind of written that way, so you can keep the story in front of you this Christmas as you celebrate it. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it out as you eat. Recount the story again and again. Because story time, a moment when we slow down, we sit and we listen, and a story unfolds in front of us. Story time's kind of a lost practice today. We live surrounded by stories, constant, loud, demanding stories, news alerts buzzing in our pockets, crisis headlines going across our screens, weather warnings, political outrage, marketing swings, celebrity drama, and endless streaming of shows fill our evenings. And social media algorithms keep feeding us stories designed to anger us, bring anxiety, and keep us addicted. See, stories are important. They're an important part of our life. These stories don't just inform or entertain us, they shape us. They tell us what to fear. They tell us what to value. They say who matters and who doesn't. They say who or what to believe is true or not. See, stories train not just our thinking, but they end up training and leading our hearts. Stories shape us. Stories disciple us. So today we look at a familiar story, one of the most popular stories, the Christmas story according to the Bible, God's Word. And the question today is whether or not you believe the Christmas story exists. You already know it does. The real question is in your notes is this: what kind of story is the Christmas story in your life? What kind of story is the Christmas story in your life? I mean, is it a news story? A news flash? Something that is interesting in the moment, but as soon as the cycle goes, so does the story go. It's no longer on the radar in our thoughts. Is it a information story? Well, it's kind of interesting facts, but it really doesn't have any difference in my life. Is it an entertaining story? Something nostalgic, emotional? Good for the season, you know? Something you want to listen to get you into the mood for the season, but then you pack away. Or is it a fairy tale? Oh, it's sweet. It's a story we all grew up with, but, you know, when you become an adult, you kind of outgrow it. Or is it a religious tradition, something spiritual, a good thing to do and remember, but it really doesn't have to impact your life. It's kind of optional what you do with it. See, it's vital how you see, how you define the Christmas story. Because the kind of story we believe Christmas is determines what it means for us. And whether or not it really takes shape in our heart and leads and guides our lives. The good news is this. The Christmas story tells us exactly what kind of story it is. And so you're taking notes. A, the Christmas story is a God's love story. It's God's love story. Luke writes, "In the same region there were shepherds on the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Who's telling this story? It's not professors or philosophers or politicians, not even pastors. God sent an angels. He sent his messengers to tell the story. This is not a story that man wrote in order to kind of reach out and touch heaven and touch God, to have some kind of spiritual experience. No, this is God writing a story to humanity. He's coming down to us. The angel says, "Fear not." There wouldn't be fear if it wasn't something divine and greater. They're in fear of God. And it says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." God is announcing his story. He is the author. He is the initiator of the story of the relationship. He's the one that's acting. He brings the story, the good news, the revelation that is for all people. And who's the main character of our story? Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The Christmas story is not first about Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, or even Bethlehem. It's about Christ the Lord. A Savior. Why would God tell this kind of story? Why is a love story with a Savior that has to come? Because long before Bethlehem, something had gone terribly wrong. In the garden, the very beginning, humanity didn't just simply make a decision, a poor decision. They broke trust. They shattered in a relationship between God and humanity. They decided that life would be better in their own terms. Life would be better if they were writing their own story, not letting God write their story, not letting God define them, that they would not be in that image, they'd be in their own image. And the result is this brokenness in relationships, that we have been separated because of the sin of what we've done, of rebellion. And that rebellion has resulted in a relationship now characterized with fear, with guilt, with shame. No longer is this love and togetherness and oneness, but now apart. Now characterized by this consequence of the shame and guilt and also death and a separation from God of eternity. This is what you and I inherited from Adam and Eve. This is why the Bible says you are born as children of wrath. You are born with a selfishness that's set against God to write your own story, to deny there's even a God there, that you are God. Nobody has to tell a two-year-old, mine. They learn it all by themselves. And so if we're honest, this is what we inherited, but this is also what we do on our very own. We've done it in our own lives to God too. But the good news is from that moment when Adam and Eve sinned, from that very moment, God was writing a story. He was writing one love story. And he wrote that one love story that we can trace over three centuries, three continents, and three different languages of a love story of how he rescues sinners who cannot rescue themselves. See, Christmas is not God reacting to our goodness. It is not God saying, oh, you've been so good, let me give you even more of a gift. Christmas is God answering our need. This child in the manger is not a sentimental decoration, a philosophy, or a political or social statement. This is God's answer to our sin. This is God's answer to our rebellion that walked away and created the separation. This is God's answer to, well, we had life for eternity, but we ruined it and brought death. And God's answer to death. And God's answer to the power of devil, the devil over you, evil, that wants to corrupt and bring darkness and divide you and separate you from God's goodness forever. This is God's answer. And the answer is we need a real Savior. And the angels proclaim the real Savior is Christ the Lord. Now, we kind of roll those terms off pretty easily in the church. But what do they mean? Many of us probably grew up, and maybe even some of us today, say, oh, Jesus Christ, Christ is his last name. No, it's not. Christ means anointed one, chosen one, Son of God, Messiah. He is truly divine. He is the Christ that all the Old Testament has been leaning, pointing to. And he's Lord. Lord over all. This is the Lord of all creation, of the whole world, who now has come, who has all the power, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but yet has come to save us and come and take on our flesh and come in humility to be with us. Now, these titles are significant. They're very significant to the story. Because in those days, in the Roman first century, the government leaders, Caesar Augustus, or Julius Caesar, Caesar Augustus was reigning now, was referred to as the Son of God. He was referred to as a Savior, or a Lord, or a bringer of peace. In fact, Caesar Augustus printed a coin that had his face on the one side, and on the other side had peace. So he is setting himself up as, look, your government. Me is the leader, is the one from God. I am a God amongst you. Therefore, he's trying to pull everybody into unity and worship to him, that he is the savior for their lives. And he is the one that can bring peace. And so it's in this backdrop that Jesus is born. Jesus Christ, the Lord. And you can see how quickly this is deeply countercultural. And you can see and understand why Caesar Augustus would want to create a massacre of children for fear there is one greater than him, a real Savior who really is the Lord, a greater king, a greater leader, who is really the one who can bring peace, unite the people. This is why those little things we say, like Jesus wasn't born in a palace, is so significant. He is the picture, the narrative, the story is setting them up that this is the true king. And he's a different kind of king than you know. He's a different kind of savior than you know in your world. I know the government promises all of you this, but it can't deliver. Here's the one who can. This is the one that we've all been waiting for that we need. This little baby who's in a manger is truly the Son of God. He is the Prince of Peace. And notice what the angels continue to say about this Jesus. It says, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Well, what does that mean? That they're like, he's pleased with us because we've done good? No, that's not what this verse means. It means peace comes because God is pleased within his Son. And all those who put their trust in him, the one who brings peace of God to us, and a peace that we can share with one another. And so we're here, we're reminded again in this text, is peace is not something that we can achieve on our own. It's not something we can control or manipulate. Peace is in the absence of problems or comes from inside of us. Peace is something that God has given, and God gives his peace through his Son, who is able to make peace, to be our perfect offering, to be our substitution for the one who lives and dies for us, to break the brokenness and restore that relationship. And so it's in Christ, the Savior being born, is the true Savior, and that's why he is the Prince of Peace. And what God is writing in this love story is a story that's unfolding, is telling you the story and telling you these details because this Christmas love story is for you. And this is not a newsflash that just hits the cycle and disappears. This is not just information. It's kind of interesting, historical. It's not a fantasy just for kids. It's not entertainment for pleasure or distraction from the stress of our world and life. It's not nearly just a religious tradition that's powerless and has no purpose. It's a story of salvation. God saving us. God fixing the brokenness of humanity. God renewing our minds and our hearts and quenching the deepest needs of our soul. The things we long to, that we utter, that we're not even aware that we're uttering. These things that we long for so much, of love and peace and hope and joy. God is bringing us back into relationship. He is acting. He is initiating. He is carrying the burden for us. That's love. To be restored back to him. And this is why, number two, the Christmas story warrants our investigation. Right? When the angels depart, the shepherds say in verse 15, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Notice what they did not say. They didn't say, let's review and decide if it's true. They didn't say, well, let's consider all the options before we go down this road. Or let us just see how we really feel about it. If it still feels good after a while, then maybe we'll go. Or, man, I don't know, does this really fit in my schedule? Or does this truly fit into I understand the world and how it works in my life? No. They go with haste. They just go. It's because, why? Because God has already spoken. God has already spoken. See, faith is born through hearing the good news, the gospel. And hearing leads them to go see and experience Christ the child. This is a contrast to most of us, how we approach faith, how we approach truth. It can be spoken to us, but we go, well, if I don't experience it, if I don't see it, then it's really not true. We want to have some experience to validate, to say it's true. It's true because God said it. It's an objective truth, not based on feeling, circumstances, or emotions. It's based on a God who is faithful, who's been the same and always been the same, who speaks, who reveals to us His good news. This good news, His word that brings life. This is the God of all creation, where there was nothing here, and He spoke, and it was. The word that creates something out of nothing is the word that creates something out of nothing in you. It creates faith where there is no faith. And so the shepherds don't go and investigate it to create faith, because faith already has a hold of them. Their salvation has come to them. This is a response of great joy to go share. I mean, think of it this way. If you go to a doctor and the doctor says you got something wrong, you don't shrug and say, well, that's pretty interesting information. That's kind of nice. If he says something wrong, you're like, what? You're leaning into it. You're asking questions. You want to know, what does that mean for your life? Now and your future. It's the same with the Christmas story. It is not, hey, here's some alpha information so you have your best life now. It is a diagnosis and a cure. Scripture is really honest about our condition. You and I are condemned sinners. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We have all not lived up to God's standards. And therefore, because of our brokenness, we all carry fear and guilt and shame and pride all mixed up. And we try to suppress those feelings. We try to drown those feelings. But we carry this burden of sin in us. And for some of us, it creates fear that we're not comfortable drawing near to God. Some people I know won't even go to a church because they're afraid the building's going to fall on them because they've been so sinful. They're always like, oh, I'm so terrible. And we avoid a church. We avoid getting close to a holy God because the closer we get, the more we understand our condition. And others, well, we carry it the opposite way. We carry it with great confidence. We say, man, I'm good. I don't need God's help. I'm good. I determine, I feel good, I do good, I'm more good than bad, so I'm all good. I made my own standards, and we just rationalize it, justify it, and deceive ourselves of the things that we don't do good. And some of us, when we get close, we guard our lives. We keep God at a distance because we like our life. We like the way it is. It's comfortable. We have our way, and we're afraid we get too close to God. He might disrupt what we built. For Scripture has the same diagnosis for all of us. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And that's exactly who Christmas is for. Christ does not come for the strong. He comes for the weak. He doesn't come for the righteous. He comes for sinners. I mean, that's why it's shepherds who are invited to the Christ child. Not kings, politicians, priests, scholars, but these outcasts, religious ceremony, unclean, the low of the low, the salt of the culture that day, were the shepherds. Yet this is who God chose to tell his story first. The Christmas story can withstand investigation because it's true. Historically grounded, publicly proclaimed, and faithfully transmitted through the time. But more importantly, it's true because God himself speaks it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says what? All scripture is God-breathed. God is writing the story. God is telling the story. And he's writing through 40 different authors to tell him the story of how he loves and how he is saving us. And even the Old Testament, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:15, says to little Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, these sacred writings have made you wise to salvation. Which sacred writings is Paul writing about? He's writing about the Old Testament. New Testament hasn't been written yet. And yet Paul is like, look, this has been made to make you wise to salvation. God has been a God who's been revealing his love through all time in history. He's working all things for this time in his story, in this moment. Because here's what we know about God's promises and God's word. God's word does what it says it does. It never returns void. God keeps his word, and his word is living and active. That's why John 3:16 says, whoever, no matter how bad your sin is, how bad your moments have been, no matter how much struggling you've done or still doing, whoever, no matter what people have labeled you and said about you, whoever believes. Whoever believes in him, Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. It's belief that this is Christ the Lord, our Savior. Belief is just saying what's been given to you and saying this gift that I received, the greatest Christmas gift of the Savior, it saves me, which leads to number four. See, the Christmas story becomes your story. Luke continues, verse 17. When they saw it, they made known, saying that they had been told them concerning the child. They shared the good news. They didn't edit it. They didn't try to improve it. They didn't change the story. They simply spoke what was told to them. They shared what they believed. See, the miracle is not that they repeated the story. The miracle is that they knew it was for them. And the miracle is they went from a heart that was full of fear to be awakened and full of faith, courageous faith, to leave a livelihood and to go and share the good news. That the Creator of the universe has taken flesh. The Holy One lies in a manger and a Savior has come, not in power, but humility. A servant. See, it's in that the story changes. It's not just the great story of Christmas, the most popular story, or somebody else's story. It's their story. Their story that they share. Because they realized that God has written them in. And the same is true for you. Faith is not something you manufacture, not a fuzzy feeling. Faith is something the Holy Spirit has created you by his word. And when the Spirit opens your ears, the heart awakens to his love story, and you realize it's for you. The Christmas story is there because it's your story. Not because you chose Christ, it's because Christ chose you. He chose you. He chose to come to this earth. He chose to go to that cross. He chose to suffer that pain and punishment for your sin. And he chose to defeat Satan and rise again. Mary shows us what faith looks like. Mary, in verse 19, treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. See, faith receives this gift. Realize it's not out of merit, it's out of the giver. Faith treasures the gift that it's given. and realize how precious and beautiful and amazing it is. And faith trusts. Mary had no idea what was ahead of her, but she trusts that this is God's Son. This is the Savior. It's Christ the Lord. And He is the Prince of Peace. And He is Emmanuel, the one of God's with us. And if God's with us, then we're good. We're good. And what did the shepherds do? Verse 20, glorify, praising God for all they had heard and seen. Worship's not just what happens in an hour and a moment. Worship is a life shaped by the story of God's grace. And the miracle of Christmas is this. The Christ who once came in Bethlehem still comes now. He comes through the Word as we read and we share it and we preach it. He comes through in the waters of baptism. He promises there. He comes through His body and blood and being shed for us to the Lord's Supper. He comes. Christmas is not only something we remember, it's something we receive from God. A divine gift. Today, the Christmas story is open for you again. God is speaking. God is giving. God is coming to you. And where Christ comes, forgiveness is given, peace is extended, hope is born. And in your hearing, you have received it all. So this is not just a story among stories. Remember, this is the story. It's a story of God for us. It's His love story for sinners. It's a story that shapes all other stories in our lives. And so it should be treasured. It should be celebrated. And so we celebrate. It's right that we celebrate in worship. It's right that we celebrate in our homes, that we gather with friends and family, even strangers, because of this great love story and that God has come to us. But more importantly, too, we trust it. We trust Him with our lives, knowing that He's come for us, the Savior, Christ the Lord, and that He is with us, and that He has brought His goodness, and He will lead us to His goodness, and He is worthy of all our trust. He's worthy to give our life to. And so we have an opportunity to do what the shepherds have done. And so in your worship folder, there is a profession of faith. And so I invite you to profess the faith of Christmas with me together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent His Son as my Savior on Christmas Day. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again to free us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in the Christ of Christmas, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I am ever led to lay before the feet of Christ the treasure of my love, and live under Him as my King, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, that's our profession. That is John 3:16. Whoever believes, whoever professes that faith of the Savior of you is forgiven. He's given the gift of eternal life with you. The Spirit, there's faith. And so God, we celebrate that You did not wait for us to find You, but You came and sought us. And not only just sought to seek us, but as John 3:17 says, You didn't come to condemn, but You came to save us. And it's not just a one-time thing, but You do it again and again and again. And so we are reminded, but more importantly, maybe we are strengthened and more galvanized in our faith to walk with You, to trust Your goodness, and to trust the story that You are writing in our lives. Father, in a time of great celebration doesn't mean there's an absence of brokenness that still exists. And so we recognize in our life and the lives around us that there's just a lot of brokenness, hurt, and pain going on. Whether it's health reasons, fractured relationships, doubts and wonders, and other things that we are burdened with. We, as your children, we get the honor and privilege to just to give them to you. And so we do that in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hey, in your worship folder, there is an opportunity to continue our worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, by in our offerings. And you can use the offering envelope, or the QR code, or text to give. But also, as we are here celebrating this birth of Christ, we also are celebrating our one-year anniversary of this service at Inlet Beach. It was last year we started our first service out here, and we're excited that God brought us through the year. We had 22 services. We started once a month, and then we were able to go to twice a month in July. And then earlier than expected, we were able to go weekly in November. And in that, those worship services, we averaged 65 people and had over 10 baptisms and many other things that unfortunately we did not all keep track of. But we are so excited and grateful. And so, man, I just want to give a little shout out for all the people in support and the volunteers who have been working so much here. So thank you. I mean, what a picture that looks like to trust Jesus and just step out. I say, I know there's nothing here, but if we step out, God will bring the people. God will touch hearts and lead them to Him. He will create the faith. And so we just grateful for their faithful service and their incredible love for this community and for the Lord. On your worship folder, also, there's a connection card. And on the back side, if there's any way we can help you grow in your faith, there's opportunities there. We would love to be part of that. We want to encourage you to take some next steps to plan and connect in. We'll be starting a new series in January. It's called Rooted. Grounded in Grace. And we'd love for you to join us for that three-week series. And then we'll get into a life group series. So our life groups go around our messages, and we're going to be in the book of Hosea. And you probably maybe glanced over Hosea a little bit. It has some incredible nuggets that are incredible for our life. And so I want to encourage you to look at that. But more importantly, a life group is just get around people that love, encourage, and care for you. Life groups, I'm amazed what I hear, how you guys minister each other. And it is just, that's what gives me one of the greatest joys of ministry. When I visit someone in need and they're like, my life group is taking care of me. They have done this, have done that. I can't be more grateful for them. So, man, don't be afraid. Get closer to Christ in the church. It's good. Also, you see some opportunities for men and women ministry. Those are great opportunities of fellowship and way to get to know people, and that will help you find a life group. They're done in semesters, so look at it this way. If you don't like the group, you can change in the next semester. That's how it works. So we give you a way. But anyway, hey, thank you again. Let's continue our worship, and as we do, the ushers are going to come around with their buckets, and you can place the offering and your connection card in there. So I invite us to rise and let us worship.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake, oh, at the side. Glory stream from heaven above. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. And God, we thank you for that silent night, Lord. We thank you for that silent, holy night where you came down and were made flesh, Lord, and walked among us. And God, we don't ever want to take that for granted, so we just ask that that would remain on the forefront of our minds, not just during this Advent season, but beyond, Lord. And we thank you for that precious gift. In your name we pray. All right, we're going to do the first verse one more time. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Yep, there we go. Hey, just before you go, receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. And all God's people say, amen. If you would like prayer or would like to share, or if you want to be baptized, I think we can still do it. So, love to connect with you. Take your flowers. If you ordered flowers, please go ahead and take them with you. Thank you.